Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. And I don't have a title for my message today, but y'all are going to be really excited. I have with me on the show today Billy Williams, who lives in Texas City, Texas, and he is going to delight you. I was made aware of him recently by my cousin who lives in Santa Fe. Santa Fe she lives in, isn't it, Billy? Santa Fe.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yes,
Santa Fe. And she sent me a video to watch. He was on Ken Bostrom Ministries television show. And I think I watched that whole segment with my jaw dropped because the anointing was so strong. So get ready for a treat. So Billy, thank you for making time, and and it's taken us some time too. Y'all, I got up this morning at, I don't know, like 6 o'clock and made coffee and started working on things before the show that I knew that we're going to need to do. And Satan has fought me every second of the morning. We have fought together for the last 2 hours trying to start recording. And yes. I'm not kidding, am I, Billy, about
not
this?
Not a bit. Not a bit.
It's like every single thing. Nothing is working.
He shut down Verizon.
He shut down Verizon for Billy.
My wife and sister-in-law, did something happen to the phones? How come we're not getting there? We can't call out. We can't call in. We can't text message.
We were talking on the phone. We were talking on the phone when this happened.
Yes. But it's a pleasure to be here.
We're so glad to have you on here. I would like for Billy to give his testimony because you have an amazing testimony. I think that you ran from God like I did. I ran from God. I mean, I could have been a track star back then. I was running so hard from Jesus. And people would try to preach to me, and I'd go, don't talk to me about the Jesus stuff. And I'd just turn around and walk off. I mean, I thought Jesus was all about rules and regulations, and I couldn't have any fun. And I just didn't want any of that.
Neither did I. It was hard for me growing up. I was introduced to the Lord from the day I was conceived. My grandmother was a very devout Christian, but I'll be honest with you, the Christianity that I was introduced to was, like you said, so many rules and regulations. It was easier for me to live in sin, die, and go to hell than it was to go to church and realize I was actually living and to die to go to hell because of the just bad doctrine. I love the church I was raised in, because I didn't realize at the time they were actually teaching me truth. Yeah. But I was so blind because I would not get into the word for myself, and I wouldn't talk to the Lord. I was too busy running, playing, and then growing into outright sin. And I apologize for that noise that keeps dinging. I'm going to turn my phone off, and that'll shut that one down. But, you know, it's I want to talk to the people today, Glenda, about answering the call.
Okay, please do.
Because, you know, your life that you've lived to this point, God knew exactly where you were going to be today. Mm-hmm. And Glenda is telling the truth. I've actually learned some things through the course of trying to come online to bring this message to you, because God has called me to do what I'm fixing to do. Let me tell you, I want to pray before I continue, because I did this with a meeting with my bishop this morning, and it's just something led me, because I'm going to pray the prayer I prayed, and I need you to hear it, because this is real warfare.
Yeah.
She was talking about warfare. At 8 o'clock this morning, I sat down with my bishop to have some counsel, and I asked him before we even open our mouth and reveal the plan, let me cover it in prayer. And I prayed like this, and I'm going to pray for you and myself as well. Father, the word of God is going forth on a new dimension. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to witness for your power, your glory, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Now, Father, I ask you to hedge my family in a hedge of safety, assign the angels of war to war for my family. Because, Father, I openly declare war on the kingdom of darkness. Because, Father, we're taking back this earth. We're taking back the property that belongs to you. And we're going to lead those that are saved out of darkness. And those that are not saved, we're going to lead them to salvation. And we're going to lead them to deliverance, to freedom, to captivity. And, Father, there's no hurt or harm from the evil one that's going to have any impact on my life, on my wife, my children, on the men and women that I have contact with through the course of what we're doing. Lord, I just thank you for the mercy and the grace of God on those that are listening, that you're going to do a work that's going to just permeate the earth with the glory of God through their lives, that they're going to stand up and answer the call and realize that it's not too late, that it's right on time, and that those that hear me will respond in faith and the miraculous will begin to flow in them and through them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The testimony that Miss Glenda was talking about, it actually began when I was about 8 years old. And let me tell you how that is. When I was about 8 years old, maybe nine, I guess, my grandmother, being a servant of the Lord, simply walked up to me one day and said, I have a word from God for you from a lady in the church. And she told me the lady's name. And she said, she says God spoke to her and said he has a call on your life, and it's a great call. And that's all that was said. I walked away. I had no idea, no revelation of what that meant, but it stuck with me. And throughout the course of my life, God spared me from death on multiple opportunities the devil took to try to end my life, because he did recognize that God had put something in me. And I wanted to bring you to the testimony I think Miss Glenda's talking about the plan of God. And I'm talking to men and women, but men, I'm talking to you especially, because you'll get to a place of frustration and discouragement just simply because it's not working right. It's not going the way you think it should. Maybe things just keep taking you out of the way, and it just delay is a lot of times what I like to recognize it as. But delay is not denial that God is working in your life. Delay is sometimes simply a deterrence to get you on the right path, because you do get to choose your own path, but God directs your steps. But I'm going to show you a plan that God put in place that I had no idea until I got through the years. I lived in my trauma years, was started somewhere around the fifth grade, and it followed me all the way through into my senior year. And halfway through that year, because of my past, I had decided that I was going to, at one point in my life, and because nothing was any hope in it. There just was no hope. And I made a plan. I put a plan together. I had a hand in drinking 2/5 of Jack Daniels by myself. I had a hand in drinking parts of 3 other fifths, not including the drugs and the weed I was smoking. But I put all of this in my body for the sake of ending my life. But God intervened. He put the people where they needed to be. They got me to my parents. My parents were able to get me into a rehab, or an ER is where it started. And when they delivered me on that Friday evening, I woke up on Sunday morning in the lockup ward. We called it the fifth floor, and there's terms that, you know, derogatory words I used to use for it, but I no longer do that. But I woke up on the fifth floor in lock-in, and as I'm laying in the bed, I kind of lost track of where I was at, but a man walked in, looks at me for a second. I asked him if I could help him, and he just shook his head with his hands on his hips and said, no, He said, I just had to see for myself. I said, well, you like what you see? He said, no, I just have to go back now and apologize to my coworkers. He said, because I was the physician on staff when you came in Friday, and when they told us what you had done, he said, the order of business, first order was to pump your stomach. So they went in. He said, we went in, and when we got there, they said, your stomach was as dry as a cotton towel out of a gas dryer. He said, next order was to run a screen tox on your blood. He said, when those results came back, he said, I walked over, pulled the sheet over your head and said, let a dead man die. He'll never survive.
Wow.
And he said, but I had to see for myself because I called them liars with bad taste in their jokes and jesting to tell me that you lived. And so he left. Well, through the course of that, I recovered, and I did lose the desire to take my own life, and I began the next step of recovery. So I have to do something with my life. I don't have a job. I can't do anything because I'm not going back to school, because if I went back to school, I wouldn't have survived. I knew my life. So I got the notion that I was going to actually go and enlist in the military. I enlisted in the military in the end of 1981. And in the course of that, I'm going to have one more blowout, bang, goodbye. And we did that. I was on the, making the long story short, we wound up on the local beach. I wound up in the back end of a truck that was a devil's act, the way I got in it, but I got in it. In the process of that, I was thinking I could fly and swim all at the same time. I dove out of the truck head first, thinking I was going to do something else, but did it on purpose. Busted my wrist, had to go to the ER, and through the course of all of that, I wound up with 9 months of recovery, 2 surgeries, looking at a third. I called my recruiter at the beginning, and he said, don't worry about it. He said, we're gonna hold a spot for you. And he says that just take care of yourself, make yourself better. And I want to reiterate, I forgot a part in here. When I went in to see the recruiter, he asked me what I was doing. I said, well, I'm going in the service. He said, well, no, tell me what you're really doing. I said, I'm going in the service. He said, go back to school, come back with a diploma. We'll let you write the contract and I'll sign it. He said, we'll do as much as send you to West Point.
Wow.
And I said, well, the bad thing about that is I won't live through high school. I say, if I go back, I know my destruction, I'll die. So he puts me onto the Green Beret off the table. He puts me on the United States Army Rangers, 101st Airborne. He said, I can give you that with a GED. I said, I'll take it. So in the process, I got in that accident, broke my wrist. I'm going through the surgeries and recoveries, and my wrist will not heal. The surgeon told me that you'll never use a hand again. It's completely shattered and ruined, but we got to do surgery to get the swelling out of it. So in the 9th month, after multiple detours through the enlistment part, I walked in on the 9th month. The guy says, we're looking at a third surgery. I called my recruiter. I said, we're looking at a third surgery. The recruiter said, it's funny you called when you did, because I literally picked up your file and the phone at the same time. And he said, in giving your report, we're going to give you a medical dismissal and a discharge. He said, thank you for your service, but you're no longer needed. Have a good life. I went back the very next week to the orthopedic surgeon, and he x-rayed me through the wrist. He says, I cannot explain it, and I'm amazed myself. He said, but what would not happen 9 months ago and over the last 9 months and 2 surgeries has happened in less than a week? He said, you are absolutely healed and completely fused, and the bone has grafted like it should. He said, I just don't understand it, but there it is. He cut the cast off of it, and I talk with my hands a lot, so you can't see that. But I began to flip my wrist and fold my fingers, And his next words were, "I've amazed myself." I said, "Can I ask you why?" He said, "Well, look at you use your hand." I said, "Well, I don't know what you have to do with that. You said it'd be never be used again." I said, "God fixed my wrist. My grandmother prays, and he has answered the prayers of my people and his covenant."
Amen.
And he sent me out the door. Went about my business. I went and got me a job, and I began to work. That was in 81 and 82. So fast forward to 1985, Miss Glenda, to show you that there's a plan, that the hurt that you go through sometimes, the accidents, the incidents, whatever you might be experiencing, whether it's your own fault, whether it's not your fault, regardless, God is working things out for you good, and I'm going to show you why.
Amen.
You know, in 1985, that was, what, three and a half years later, I walked into my parents' house, and I sat down to watch news, and I didn't watch news at that time. I was too young to care. And when I flipped on the television, there was a special news bulletin came on, and it was reporting that President Ronald Reagan had sent a peacekeeping mission into the Sinai Desert to do an extraction. They loaded a troop of Army soldiers onto Chinook helicopters. They were flying them through the desert at grade level to go in undetected, and in the course of that, they so close to the ground, it stirred up the sand and choked out the motors, so they had to abort the mission.
Oh.
They put them on a C-130 to transport them in back to the United States, and they were en route. And on December the 12th, 1985, that C-130 went down. It crashed, killed 248 soldiers plus 8 crewmen, I believe it was.
Oh.
And the second I saw that report, they said the 101st Airborne Rangers, the Lord said to me, if I'd allowed you to follow your path, you'd have been on the plane and you would not have survived. Because none did.
Wow.
That's when I realized or began to realize that I was living my life like I wanted to. I was doing things that I wanted to do anytime I wanted to, and I wasn't asking God's permission. I wasn't asking God's opinion. I wasn't seeking God on anything, but God was still getting me through some things because he had a plan in place. Now, you keep in mind, God is unveiling this plan. So now I know that I understand 248 men died and why they died on the plane and I did not. They have to ask that for the Lord because God is the only one that can explain everything. I just know God had a plan for my life. And I'm talking to the men and women listening to this podcast. God has a plan, and it may hurt getting there, but that's because he's allowing you to live your life. He's allowing you to make your plans, and he's allowing you to execute them. But the thing you have to keep in mind is he's working in your life, regardless of who you think you are or who you think you're not. God is still God, and he's going to honor the calling of God on your life. He's going to work you through it to get you through it so you can arrive safely to where you're going. And then in 1985, I received a word from God laying on across a barbed wire fence in Santa Fe. You can confirm this, Miss Glenda, because you know the Tammy, you mentioned her. She's our cousin. And I was talking to her brother, and he spoke a name of a church to my life. And he simply said, Abundant Life is a good church. I had no idea what it was, where it was, or who it was, or anything else. I just know that's all he said. Conversation closed. And then fast forward it 10 years later. God, after I'd been married, my wife, and I've got another 30-minute testimony there, but my wife finally got me into Abundant Life to go visit. And the day I walked in, the Lord showed me that day in September 1985. I walked through the doors of Abundant Life for the first time as a churchgoer, and the Lord showed me a big photograph in my mind's eye of me on that fence with my cousin Quint, and he showed me that same statement come out of his mouth. He said, I called you here 10 years ago. Now sit down and be taught.
Wow.
And I spent 13, that day I got saved, born again. I got planted in the house of God. I have answered the call of God. It took a process. I'm 25, 26 years in this now, doing this. But God had to let me do my own thing for a while, because he knew I wasn't talking to him. And if I wasn't willing to talk to him, I wasn't willing to listen to him. So just keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that it's never too late, no matter how bad it is, no matter what you've been through. Look back over it and study it and look for God in those moments, because he did show up. I assure you, you didn't go dark enough for him. You didn't get bad enough for him. You didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to give you my disclaimer. If you are listening to me, if you're hearing this word, then I'm talking to you, and I'm talking on the authority of God's word and what he's commissioned me to do. You are right on time. You're in place. You're hearing because you're supposed to hear. We worked 2 hours to get to this podcast, and I told Miss Glenda during the course of it, I said, you know, we can do this tomorrow, or I'm not in any hurry. It's not me. But you know what? She replied to me. She said, I've learned that when the warfare starts, that I've got to press through. Because, and I realized when she said that it's because some of you were coming to this podcast that said, if you didn't get a word from God today, you was walking away.
Oh, wow.
And I'm telling you today that it's not too late, that you're stepping into the greatest hour since the birth of Jesus Christ, the
Amen.
Death, burial, and the resurrection.
Yes, Lord.
You're stepping into the most powerful move of the Holy Ghost that God has done in this earth since the creation of earth.
That's
and I'm
truth.
Telling you, you are a part of it. You have been praying. You have been asking the Lord. You have been seeking him. You've been listening to radio. You've been dancing and worshiping, and you've been crying and calling out to God. Why hasn't it changed? When is it going to change? And I'm telling you, it's going to change.
Amen.
We're in a new day. We're entering. My bishop gave me the word today. We're entering a new era.
Wow. That's good news.
Just keep holding on. You know, and I really just want to keep you reiterating to the men. Take hold of what God has put in your heart. Don't let it go, because you're the number one warrior over your families. If you don't lead them to the things of God, if you don't lead them to the house of God, if you leave them to themselves, the wolves are in place. Don't leave your family hanging at the happen chance. Let things be on purpose. Learn to know that God has put you where you are. He's gotten you where you are. He's done it to this day, and he's not going to miss the mark and miss it tomorrow. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. This podcast, I don't know who's listening to it, but if it's just one, but see, we're looking for all of you, and I'm talking to every one of you, but every one of you have to realize that the word spoken has to be received, it has to be conceived, and it has to be carried to birth. There's a process in everything. Some of you are going to jump into great feats that God called you to do 30 years ago. Well, see, when he calls you to do it, you got to go through the preparation process. You have to go through the warfare to understand and know. Because if I had not been where I had been, I don't know that I'd have the confidence to speak like I'm speaking. But I'm telling you that if you're listening, the disclaimer is God is speaking to you without a doubt, without exception. 100% of the listeners it's available to you if you will accept the anointing in the word that I have to give. My scriptures, God gave me Luke 4:18. He gave me Isaiah 61. They're one and the same. Isaiah 61 was the prophesied version. Luke 4:18 is the manifested version. And you have to understand that the word of God says in John chapter 1 verse 14 that the word was made flesh. The word is still being made flesh. It's being made flesh every time we speak it into the ears of a hearer. If you will just learn to speak the word, You see, God has called you and equipped you. And there's things that we want to, through the course of the next couple of programs, I want you to understand that you are a walking miracle. You are a distribution center. You're a conduit. You see, Jesus has already done the work. And the reason he came, so he showed them with their physical eyes because they could not see with their spiritual eyes because they were dead men prior to his redemption work. But once he went to the cross, once he ascended back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, you have to understand that when you know that the God that was in Jesus now lives in you, you can do the things Jesus said that he demonstrated. He showed us how to do them. But I want to read to you. This is the scripture of the Lord when he introduced his ministry to the people. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That scripture is mine. Every word he said is mine, and it's yours too, if you will lay a hold of it and just believe what Jesus said, because he did say that the works he did, those after him, when he once he left, those be after him would do the same things he did, but greater. And the reason he said greater was not because we're more than him, it's just we're more than him, meaning there was one of him, now there's me and Miss Glenda, and there's John and Joe and Nancy and Peggy and Sally and Jerry. And if you are in this podcast, you're one of the more. Now, what Jesus did on the earth, he did it wherever he was at. He would send the word to do it where he wasn't, but he would do the work where he was at and send the word. That's what you've got to learn, that you are empowered and authorized to do. Jesus justified you. God sanctified you, and he authorized you, and the Holy Ghost in you empowers you. You have to get a hold of that. When God sent his Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. You have miracle-working power in your mouth. If you don't know what to say to someone, just pick up your Bible and read it to them verbatim. Just give them God's word. It's not you, it's God anyway, right?
Yeah, that's it.
But, you know,
that is the truth right there.
But I've been doing this for 25 years. I've been knowing for a long time that I was called. My wife, even when I was a grown man, Miss Glenda, my wife would ask me, "Why do you do that or this? You know you could get hurt or killed." And before Christ, I would look at her and say, "Because I'm protected." Well, that was arrogance and ignorance. I knew I had a call because of that one word. There's a great call on your life. And I took it to spirit. Didn't even realize, I guess truly didn't realize what that meant. But once I got to the house of God that God had ordained me to sit in, and I sat down, shut up, and listened like he told me to do, it all has turned around. I have seen God raise the dead on at least 5 occasions.
I want to hear those stories. It's got to be good.
And I have seen God prevent and reverse blindness. I have seen God heal what the doctor said was deaf as a doornail ears. I have seen God heal paralysis. I have seen God heal AIDS. I have seen God create new kidneys. I have seen God generate new hearts, and we're not talking about what I think they said. I'm telling you what the patients said after the doctor's visit when they went in to follow up with them. You see, these are living, breathing epistles. These are people that are alive and tangible and very confirmable. I've seen God raise the dead in prisons. I wasn't there as an eyewitness, but the family testified to it.
Wow.
You see, I don't get to meet everybody that I'm going to pray for. I don't get to meet or see the results physically on occasion, but you do get to see it. If you do it, if you do it locally, you'll see it locally. If you're praying around the world, you may not get to see it. You may only get to hear about it.
Good point.
But I want y'all to just know that God has equipped you. God has called you. You're special. There's, you know, I want to throw this one in there too. A lot of times people will sit and listen to me talk. And I tell them, they say, you know, well, you such this and you such that. I said, can I tell you a truth that you might not agree with? When I was probably up to as late as 25, I said, if you'd known me from that point backwards, you would not have liked me. You wouldn't have given me much more than the time of day. And then you'd probably want to take that back because I was a nasty person. I was angry and mad. The devil assaulted me all the way through junior high into my senior year. It caused me to quit high school because I just took on more weight than I could bear. But I even walked in my backyard one night. I was so angry with God not fixing my life. I raised my fist to the air and showed him a couple of fingers and told him I hated him. And I said, and I turned around, looked at the ground, and I said, Satan, I'm going to call you master.
Oh.
And when I said that, he took the reins. And from that point forward, and even before, God protected me. But from that point forward, it was a downhill spiral of drug abuse, binge drinking, and just wrong life living.
Wow.
Trying the seances and to reach into the spirit realm of darkness. And I just, God kept me from each and every one of them. He allowed me to go through it, but I chose to shake my fist at God. I chose to blame him for my misery. And I chose to walk those paths, but God never let me walk alone. Oh, and I was going to share one more testimony. Even after I got into the house of God, I was fired up. I was on fire for God. And then the devil shows back up, and then he reminds me of the day I called on him. And then he reminds me of the day I cursed God. And he tells me all these other things. And he told me he began to lay in my spirit that I had blasphemed the Holy Ghost and I was useless to God, that he couldn't use me. And my wife and I, several weeks into this new church, and I'd sat all the way to the back row, just like most other visitors in a church. I'd start at the back so I could get out quicker. And my wife says, how can you walk into this church? How can you stand in this music and listen to the praise and the atmosphere and look the way you look? And I said to her, I said, I just feel like I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And I said, God thinks I'm useless and he can't use me for anything. And the second I spoke those words to my wife, the pastor, his name is Walter Hallam. He's a wonderful man of faith. I love him. He gets out of his seat, walks to the pulpit and says, I have a word from God for somebody in here. He said, you're called of God and the devil just told you you've blasphemed the Holy Ghost and cannot be used of God for anything. You're useless. He said, the devil's a liar. Come forward. Let me lay my hands on you and pray for you and set you free. So in that same instance that I said I had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, God responded and put that man there to tell me the truth. You see, because the lie is you have no hope. The lie is you've gone too far. The lie is you can't be redeemed because I don't know what you've done. You're right, I don't, and I don't need to know. But God knows, and he knows that if your sin is greater than his blood, then he has failed.
We know that's not the case.
And that is not the case. It only took one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ to hit the ground to redeem all of humanity. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ didn't pour out one drop. He poured out every ounce in his body.
He gave it all.
He gave it all. They punctured his body. Now, the number 7 in the scriptures is the day of rest. It's a season of rest. And if you study out the way Jesus shed blood, he shed blood 7 different ways. It says he sweated out in the garden. It says he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The crown of thorns was pierced onto his head. It says they pierced his hands. They pierced his feet. And there was one slip in my mind. But there are seven different bloods that Jesus shed. And now you remember the physics of it. When you stand someone vertical, you have in a sealed vessel, you have a vacuum. So God made sure he got it all out. He punctured him in the head first. That's the vent. He punctured him in his hands and his feet. And when you got him at the feet, that's the low point. That, and the holes in the head allowed the blood to drain out freely. There was nothing left to drain. And when they stuck him in the side at his rib cage, it says it poured out blood and water. So Jesus drained his body dry. He gave every ounce of his blood for you and me. And that's the blood that brings about the power of salvation and the power of the manifestation to do the work that Christ did, because we're covered in the blood.
And the power to be delivered from any addiction you struggle with.
Amen. Every addiction, whether it's an addiction to chemicals, I don't care if it's addiction to alcohol, drugs. I don't care if it's an addiction to media, social media. I don't care if it's addiction to porn. Whatever you're doing, you need to realize that it's not so bad that you can't tell God about it, because he's only waiting on you to tell him the truth. Quit lying and denying. Yes. Give it to him. Can I throw one more testimony in there? Because, see, I'm talking.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to walk in the power of God and you want to see the manifestation of miracles where you say it and then you will see it, and I'm a living testament, you've got to get honest with yourself and honest with God, because God knows the truth. God expects integrity, and integrity always incorporates truth. You will not live in the lie behind closed doors and then walk in authority over the devil in the light, because it's confusion in the realm of the spirit. The devil is a liar. I'm going to show you what I think 95% of the males that are out there have all experienced the enticement of porn, because it's so prevalent. It's put on our television shows called soft porn through the promiscuity of the television shows and whatnot. That is the introduction and acceptance of it. It allows you to go deeper. But then when you get on the internet, it's out there on any level you're willing to look at. Well, I want to encourage you men to turn away from that. Don't even entertain it on your TV, because there is a spirit that comes with that. And I'm going to show you my testimony of how God delivered me from that. And I never invested my money in porn. If I bought five illicit programs in my life, that's probably giving it too much credit, because I was never really drawn to it. But if it were available and free, I might take a glance. And I made a mistake one day. I was sitting at the job site, and someone had brought a magazine to the site, and they forgot it and left it lay out in the open. And I had to wait my turn for something. So while I was waiting to be called into the office, I looked over and saw the book. I picked it up and I flipped open to the middle of it. And the second it fell open, God spoke to me and said, "The devil that recruited that man's daughter now has the right to recruit yours."
Oh.
And I said, "Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me.
Jesus, wow."
And I folded that book shut and I walked away from it. And I'll be honest with you, there was a time or two that I slipped in the future, and I believe it cost me dearly with one of my babies. But, God has redeemed me. And
what a testimony.
And he has delivered my child. And I'm telling you that sin is real. The wages of sin is death. It will kill you one way or another. It doesn't mean you drop dead physically when you commit a sin. What it means is you fell to the flesh, and when you fall to the flesh, just turn to the Father and ask his forgiveness. And then repent. Turn away from it and realize, if you're a gambler and you're spending your time at the dice table or at the roulette wheel or the slot machines, understand a game in itself is not sin, but when you're sitting there laying your hard-earned money on the, and you forgot to make the tithe offering, or you forgot to help someone in need when you had the money to do it, you have thrown your money away in a bag with holes in it, the Bible calls it. I want to encourage you that if you're looking after the win on a, in a gambling establishment, Satan's going to take your money eventually. He'll give you just enough to lead you down a track where you'll go into the hole that you'll never come out of if you keep chasing it that way.
So it'll just make you believe you're going to win. Oh, well, just one more time. I know I'm going to get it this time.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the same way with programs. Let's say you deal with anger. Well, don't watch movies with violence in it. Don't feed the demon. You starve the demon. Whatever is causing you to stumble, you need to learn that God has given you the power within you to overcome that. You just have to recognize that some things you can lay down and walk away from, and it's no problem. But then there are the iniquities of the soul that are passed along from generation to generation that you just are not going to be able to do anything with until you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and step into Acts 1:8, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will completely fill your body with the power of God. And then
amen.
Satan can't dwell where God dwells.
Amen. Well said. Okay, we're going to have to end this episode today, but Billy is going to be back with us, and we're going to be talking about the miraculous, and he is going to tell us how to activate the miraculous. Billy, would you give the listeners your contact email where
yes.
they can contact you?
It is b.l.williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, 071963. @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you.
And pretty soon, Billy's going to have a website, and we'll be telling you about that. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter, or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?